personal foul. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Astree tackled the quarterback. He's giving him business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
All right, Dal. So we went back, we confirmed. I think I made fun of you last week for this, that you picked Minnesota and it was somehow working. Well, it turns out that that was false. I had the wrong 2-7 that you picked an upset on.
Yeah. Thank you very much. And it's actually very important to me that this is corrected because John Morant killed a man last night. I mean, friggin' just killed him dead. And I thought, you know, I remember the whole conversation when Michael Beasley, they're like, Michael Beasley should be the number one pick in the draft. It's either him or Derrick Rose. And my Bulls had the number one pick. Your Bulls mm-hmm. had the number one pick. And I'm like, you know what? Please pick Derrick Rose. Please pick. And they did. And there were some good times.
Local kid.
There were some good times. He had some injuries. And obviously what happened. But at least he didn't get murdered publicly on like his fifth team. Like Beasley did. That has got to be one of the most epic dunks I have ever seen in my life. And I grew up watching Dr. J. I grew up watching the Showtime Lakers. I watched the whole Michael Jordan winning six championships. Even Kobe and Shaq had some just hellacious dunks. That one, Ja Morant, he did. He murdered that man.
Well, and that's going to keep you afloat as we both took Memphis. I went down 3 points before round one even started,
oh,
Dal.
Yeah.
And yet, there is a path for me here because the Celtics swept the Nets. Thank you for giving me the freebie, I guess. So I caught up. Well, I'm only down two now. We both had the Heat. They won. The Warriors can finish things off here shortly.
And they will.
And if they do that, I'm only down one.
I picked against. I still think it's crazy.
You
I
took
picked
Denver.
What? Yeah, that's the one.
The other two that we
that's
disagree
the one I'm
on.
Like, did I? Was I? You know? Did I? Did I engage in some? You know, edibles from Denver.
So this is the other one where I'm a little bit confident. This is my tie, right? If all things go well, I think the Mavericks are going to finish off the Jazz here shortly.
They're going to do it. It's either going to be tonight or it's going to be, you know, in Dallas or it's going to be in Salt Lake. But I don't see Utah winning this series
at all. If you give me Warriors and Mavs as probables, then we're tied. And then the last matchup of round one we picked against each other that right now probably still favors you, but still, you took the 76ers and I took Toronto.
Yeah, but the 76ers
3-0.
They're staggering though.
And my Raptors aren't if they pull that one off, I should get 4 points for that.
Well, here's the thing. They're missing some of the pieces that they won that championship with, but there's some of the pieces still left from that championship the Raptors won a couple years ago, and I have disliked Joel Embiid since he came into the league. I thought, that guy is a fragile diva. And up until recently, I've been right. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's hardly put together a full season. He's always hurt. He's an a-hole. Then he puts together like this MVP-esque season. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, he's living up to the expectation. And then he tore the ligament in his thumb. And then it's going to say he played through it. I'm like, well, he doesn't strike me as I'm hurt and I'm going to play through it, so I'm going to drop a double nickel on you, a.k.a. the Jordan food poisoning game. It's like, I see the opposite. I see, I have an excuse, so now I'm not going to. Anyway, I would not be shocked at all if the Sixers trickled down their leg and lost to the Raptors.
Doc Rivers already dominating the category. All-time most losses as a head coach in series-clinching games.
Really? When that's right.
Yeah, he has 31 career losses when he has reached win number 3 in a series.
Here's what's crazy. He was getting that reputation, and I like Doc Rivers, and he doesn't deserve what we're saying right now. He doesn't. No. He's a really good coach, and he showed it on multiple teams.
But if he can get to 33 by the time this postseason is done,
but
I'm just saying that would really help me out here.
But just to give you an idea of how long he's been toting that reputation, they were saying that when he was with the Celtics, and they were getting ready to fire him with the Celtics. And then they won the championship in 2008. Is that when that was?
Mm.
Yeah, that's 14 years ago. And they're still like, well, Doc Rivers, blah, 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 blah. It's like, well, no, he's more like the Atlanta Braves. You can't say he's Marty Schottenheimer, may he rest in peace, because he has won the big one.
Mm-hmm.
He's more like the Atlanta Braves. I've been there 10 times, and I did get that one, you know, that one. So, I mean, at least he got that one. But
you know who you could compare him to if you want to go coaches? You know, Andy Reid is starting to look a little bit like that. Andy Reid keeps getting there, getting knocked out. And the fact that he won one in 2019, it's like people are ready to forgive it. And we talk about him like, oh, well, he's like the number two coach behind Bill Belichick in the league right now. I don't know.
Here's the crazy thing about Andy Reid is when they won that in 2019, I'm like, oh, my gosh, how many are they going to win now? And then they got right back there, and I'm like, oh, here we go. They're going to win like five in a row. And then they just got smoked.
I was wearing a Brady jersey for that game, which people that know me personally might be shocked to hear that, as I was an avid Brady hater for a very long time. I was so anti-Chiefs for that football game. I showed up in a Tom Brady Patriots jersey just to...
Wow. And then you see what's happened, you know, this last year, and then in the offseason, you know, you only get to have the Bill Belichick comparison if it works.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, you trade Tyreek Hill, and if you come back either this year or next year just even better than ever, then people are going to go, wow, what a move. They trade Tyreek Hill. They could have, you know, all this money, blah, blah, blah. They picked up so-and-so and so-and-so.
And lest we forget, you and I came on the air when that happened, and we actually said that Miami lost that trade.
Yeah.
So if that takes place, I'd like to point out, we called it before most people.
We did, but at the same time, if they don't win more championships...
Then who cares?
Then you just screwed it up.
Yeah.
And honestly, as we come into the draft, see, nice segue into the draft.
Oh yeah,
as we come into the draft, that's tomorrow. It does make sense from a, do we want to tie up $25 million or whatever he ended up getting paid?
It was over 30, I think.
Yeah, you're right. It was because it was 4 years for $120 million.
Yeah.
So do we really want to tie up $30 million on a receiver? Which just boggles my freaking mind.
I really enjoyed Ryan Poles at his media day the other day, specifically said that he was radio silent all offseason on the receiver market, and that he's not interested in trade. He said, I'm not trading up. I won't do it. So he's given that away already. The Bears are not moving up. And he said specifically it's because he feels like fans and other NFL teams... He said, wide receivers right now are too overpriced and I'm not buying it.
They are.
And I said, thank you. He's like, I'll sit right where I'm at and I'll draft receivers. I'll draft eight receivers if I need to. I'll just keep drafting them because I'm not going out and I'm not paying $30 million to bring in a receiver.
It's nuts. It really is. You look at that and you go, yeah, on paper, it still makes a lot of sense. Especially this draft coming up.
Oh yeah,
there's 6 to 8 receivers, and then let's be honest, there's going to be guys that we're not talking about that are going to kick. That are going to kick butt. I mean,
that's going to be hard to do because we've talked about like 12 receivers on the show.
We have, but who was the best receiver in the league last year? Cooper Kupp, and what was he, a third or a fourth round pick?
Mm-hmm.
Tyreek Hill. What was Tyreek Hill? I'm just saying, these guys come along. We're talking about the good ones, but the ones that are like great the last handful of years, nobody's seen them coming. They're anyway, that's just my two cents. So I can see it working out, but it's got to work out. Otherwise, you just traded away a huge piece of your team. But on that topic, as a Washington fan, that
you
all
do have a first round.
That all happened at the exact worst time. We were just starting contract negotiations to extend Terry McLaurin. The guy has put up pretty heroic numbers considering he's had eight different quarterbacks. That's not just me going, wow, picking a number out of my butt. Eight. He's had eight different quarterbacks in three seasons throw him the ball. None of them are worth much in terms of historical. I'm just saying Tom Brady's not been throwing Terry McLaurin the ball. You know, Matthew Stafford, any of these guys, Aaron Rodgers, no. None of those guys. And so he's already the face of their franchise, so they were already going to have to pay him. But seriously, his contract was going to be like 17 or 16, somewhere in that range, if they could have got it done in the offseason. Now it's like 22 to 25. And you have to re-sign Terry McLaurin. He is like Andy Dufresne in The Shawshank Redemption, struggling through the pipeline of Schmidt. That is the Washington Commanders to come out smelling and looking good on the other side. He's the man. The fans love. There will be a riot if they don't re-sign. If they trade Terry McLaurin this week, there will be a riot.
So they can move up and take a receiver?
And yet, here's the thing. On paper, if you are not attached to Terry, which I clearly am, it's not a terrible idea. I mean, you take somebody at 11, or you screw someone over who's anxious to move up, you recoup another first round pick, and you pick like two late first round receivers and hope they work out. I'm just saying.
How dare you, though, because we need some of those.
I'm just saying I could see teams doing that. There will be a riot if Terry McLaurin is not extended or if he's traded. Oh, my gosh.
And two huge names that are now constantly in the mouths of Chicago reporters claiming these are the names that have been batted around Halas Hall the most. And I have given very strong opinions, one in one direction, one in the other direction, of both of these men. It would be George Pickens. Oh boy, would I have a field day if we got George Pickens. And Alec Pierce from Cincinnati, who runs a 4.37 40-yard dash, but somehow can never get open.
Does that mean he sucks at running routes?
I think he's abysmal at running routes. He's a fantastic athlete. And I get that, but I'm not a huge fan of wide receivers in drafts. Now, granted, I said the same thing about DK Metcalf, and he turned out fine. I get that. But we also said the same thing about Justin Blackmon, and we ended up being completely right about that.
Yeah.
So, you know, route running is one of those skills that I think is paramount to being a wide receiver, and it's one that when a receiver doesn't have, it scares me. Like, okay, I get it. You're a great athlete. You dominate guys that you play while you're at Cincinnati. You can't just physically dominate everyone at the NFL level. Like, that's not going to work. And there are some people that really like Alec Pierce because of all of his physical traits. He just scares me because his biggest flaw is, like, the primary part of the wide receiver position. It would be like, it's like when you draft a quarterback whose biggest flaw is that he can't read defenses. You're like, okay, yeah, I get it. It's fantastic that you can throw the ball 90 yards and you can run a 4.440.
And you still might have some success, i.e. RG3. He still can't read defenses. But I digress. You were saying.
It scares me that Pierce's biggest flaw is route running. I'm not in love with that. I'd still put him in my top 10, maybe at 10. But George Pickens is legit. Now, granted, his biggest question is medical. That scares people, too. I get that. He was injured almost his entire senior year. He missed almost the whole thing. Came back for the postseason and dominated, by the way. He ripped Alabama a new one. and that's Alabama. He arguably has the best film in this draft. He just doesn't have as much of it as some of the other
guys.
Here's
what's interesting. You have been high on Pickens for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've been talking about this guy going back to the fall, even before we started the podcast.
I think I was talking about it while he was at Georgia.
Yeah, you were. And so I just, what's been interesting is I just pulled up. Now, granted, you know, things are what they are. It's an inexact science. I mean, every year there are busts and there are breakouts and things like that. In fact, one of my favorite things to do is we make fun of the busts at my draft party because here's what's interesting. I think this is the first year I'm going to not include Ryan Leaf because the guy has turned his life around and got his crap together. And
he has an excellent Twitter account
and he seems genuinely happy. And it's like, you know what, Ryan? Good for you. He could be begging for meth under an overpass right now, and he's not. So good for him. I can still make fun of other guys. I mean, there's still plenty of other busts. But just pulling up the list here from ESPN, the best available list. And what's cool about it is that you can winnow it down to position.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you can see it from where you're at here in the studio. Do you see where they've got George Pickens in the wide receiver rank for the draft? Number 10.
That's insane.
They're saying he is the 10th best receiver in this draft. And obviously you're higher than that on him. But
and I'm looking at the list right now. I've got a lot of problems with it. First of all.
But that bodes well for you, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because your team doesn't pick right away. And based on this, they could maybe get him in the second round or even later.
First of all, Sky Moore at 8. All right, problem number one. Sky Moore, whose sole skill set is, I am very fast. Okay, well, do you do other things? No, but did you see my 40? It was in the 4.2s.
Which means he's going to get drafted by the Raiders.
Yeah.
Sorry.
He went to a tiny school. He put up okay numbers.
Western Michigan's not that tiny. It's not. Dude, you are in Wyoming.
Wyoming's probably a bigger school.
No, we have like an enrollment of 13,000 kids.
All right, well, a larger football program that plays larger teams.
We play larger teams?
That's what I said.
Oh, okay.
I said you play larger competition than Central Michigan does.
No, Western Michigan.
Western Michigan.
See, I guess I thought Western Michigan has done quite well the last few years. Anyway, I'm derailing your point.
Also, John Mechie ahead of George Pickens.
That seems crazy.
Granted, John Mechie is a very complete receiver.
He is, but...
He's not...
Is he better than that guy? See, and then look who's 11. Alec Pierce is 11. So this
ESPN and I disagree.
Well, and you know where ESPN's getting their stuff from. It's Mel Kiper.
Mel Kiper and I often disagree.
And who's the other guy? I got Adam Schefter in my mind, but that's not right. The other guy that does all the picks that they brought in to go alongside Mel Kiper, I forget. He's right there. McShay? Is it Todd McShay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that. Man, it's like one of those that's so obvious you can't think of it things. But you look at this list, and, you know, I've thought for quite some time that Washington was going to pick a receiver at 11. And it kind of looks like, I mean, I mentioned this last week. There were so many different positions vying for those top 10 picks. There's going to be a really good player at 11. Is it going to be someone like Drake? I've kind of fallen into the idea of Drake London because he's so big.
Drake London is interesting because he is more like DK Metcalf than Pierce is, in that I believe Pierce really, really needs to work on his route running. Drake London needs some refinement in his route running. He is a project wide receiver that, if your project is successful, is going to be Mike Evans.
Okay.
Because he is big, he has strong hands.
Yeah, he is
fast.
He's enormous.
And if you've ever seen him, Notre Dame had to play him every year. When he throws a stiff arm, it disintegrates people. His stiff arm is scary. He just needs to do a better job of of at the top of his routes. Now, Drake London can get separation from guys. The problem is he doesn't extend his separation. Now, that's why I say it just needs refinement. He just needs someone, a really good receivers coach, to teach him at the tops of his routes how to break them off to the, okay, yeah, you got 2 yards behind the guy because you're faster than him and you have a good first step.
But can't do that anymore.
Yeah, I bet if you break this off a little sharper, you can take that 2 and you can turn it into 4 or 5. Okay. Something like that.
So I'll just ask you straight up. Who should be the top receiver taken in this draft?
To me, it's Jameson Williams. And I have seen way too many.
Which is interesting. He's rocketing up the draft boards. Like the last 2 weeks, people saw him working out. Now, he tore his ACL in the title game, which is about as bad a thing that can happen.
That's what's costing him that top spot right now.
It is, but people have seen him working out, and that's only been just a few months. And they're like, look at him. He's already medicine in the modern day is something else. It really is. I mean, when you consider Gale Sayers' career ended.
On a torn ACL.
Because of an ACL. Done.
Mm-hmm.
And then it used to be, that's like 2 years, 2 calendar years. It really kind of started with Adrian Peterson. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
He tore his and then came back and ran
for 2,000 yards.
And it wasn't even a year. It was just like, whoa. I mean, he must have got a hold of Ray Lewis's sprinkled deer antler.
2012 was arguably the greatest MVP race of my existence. Now, I started watching football in the early to mid 2000s, 2003 or 4.
You're a child.
Yeah. In my span, so since then, you had Adrian Peterson with 2,000 yards. You had Peyton Manning coming off neck surgery and dropping 39 touchdowns, something like that. And it almost seemed like he ended up winning it, and it almost felt like, well, dang, he almost seems like the third. And J.J. Watt putting together what was arguably the greatest defensive year of my lifetime.
That was the year where if you're not going to give it to a defensive player that year, then come up with another award.
Yeah.
Anyway, going back to the receivers, you think Jameson Williams. So obviously the injury, the injury does not impact your thoughts.
No, not even a little. I would take Jameson. Here's my really hot take of this. I would take Jameson Williams if I were the Detroit Lions at 2.
Wow.
He would be my pick. First of all, because it prevents you from taking Thibodeau, who is a potential hit or miss type of pass rusher. But if it's not him, I'd go Neal from Alabama, or I would go with Sauce Gardner.
I love the Neal kid from Alabama. Don't they call him the big unit? I think it's just the unit.
Mm-hmm.
The big unit is
and now
the pitcher,
have you sorry. Heard the rumors that Detroit is considering quarterback?
I have
number
heard.
Two.
I have read that.
Please.
Oh my gosh, Detroit.
I beg of you.
Do you honestly think that any one of these guys is better than Jared Goff right now?
No.
No.
Maybe Pickett.
I mean, it's possible we're dead wrong. I mean, people are dead wrong all the time, but this class. Nobody has knocked anybody dead.
I have, by the way, seen 3 consecutive mock drafts.
Especially 2 overall? Number 2 overall?
You have a pick at 31.
Dude, if Detroit was smart. Actually, I take that back. Never mind.
Yeah, there is no sentence that follows that.
It's true, but it's also this is not the year to try and trade back because there's
no
consensus.
No one wants to.
Well, there's no consensus.
No one wants to trade up, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Nobody wants to move up because, well, it's the same. Washington has the same issue at number 11, let alone number 2.
Well, you know, Jacksonville's been trying to shop that number 1 pick for a month.
Nobody
and they
wants
can't
it.
Get a taker.
It's because no one even knows. I mean, there may be one superstar good player but in this draft, but nobody knows who it is right now because they think there's 10.
My biggest problem, too, is that I've seen 3 consecutive mocks where I'm the only one that currently has Jameson Williams at number 1 on the receiver board. 3 straight mocks have Green Bay taking Jameson Williams, and I will jump off of something very high onto something very sharp if that happens.
It would be so ironic that the Packers would wait until they have pissed off Rodgers to the point and pissed away their fan base faith in them.
To finally get him a weapon?
To finally get... How's that Jordan Love pick looking now?
It's my favorite draft pick of all time.
I saw one of the trades had him going to Seattle, and I'm like, why would Seattle want him? They've already got a questionable quarterback project back from trade in Drew Lock. And in fact, Drew Lock is a hell of a lot more accomplished than Jordan Love.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Love has played one freaking game.
And it was bad.
And it was not good.
And in the preseason, he's been bad, and that's against backups.
It was a terrible pick. It was a terrible decision.
You know, I
watched him in college. We played against him. He's obviously in the Mountain West.
Mm-hmm.
He was. People thought he was Josh Allen. He's not.
I have someone that can confirm this for me too, and I'll give him a shout out by first name. He's been on the show before as a guest. A buddy of mine named Kyler. I remember I called him on draft night to laugh about Green Bay taking Jordan Love because I was anti-Love during the process.
Yeah.
Because there was actually talks that year of, oh, could the Bears move on from Mitch Trubisky? He had a bad 2019, blah, blah, blah. I don't think those were like real yet, but just for the fun of it, I still researched the quarterbacks. And I said, all right, I don't like Love. Love is overrated. I call him, and Kyler tried to convince me. He's like, well, you know, blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of people saying he's going to be good, and frankly, I think he has talent. I'm going to defend that this could still work out for Green Bay.
Everyone in the league has talent.
So far, me 1, Kyler 0 on the Jordan Love.
I remember they were still struggling with whether or not they were going to be able to keep Aaron Rodgers happy, which he's like a petulant child. You can't. But even then, I remember, it's like I was in his corner. It's like they looked like their last 10 picks or 11 picks. It was 11 picks. And 10 of the last 11 NFL picks in the draft had been defensive players.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that wasn't was Jordan Love.
And so, my favorite part of that draft, too, was,
i.e. your potential replacement.
Their two best players the year before were Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Jones. And then they go into that draft, and their first-round pick and their second-round pick were quarterback Jordan Love and running back A.J. Dillon. And it's my favorite draft that's ever happened.
All right. Now, I'm going to take us back to receiver, because you think Jameson Williams...
He's my number one.
He's your number one. It seems like a lot of people are saying it's Garrett Wilson.
Garrett Wilson's my 2.
Out of Ohio State, that's who's at the top of the list I'm happen to be looking at right now.
Because he has a lot of the same skills as Williams, but he's healthy.
So, thoughts on a guy like Arkansas's Treylon Burks?
Treylon Burks is, and I'll say this right here for everybody, my number 4.
Okay.
I got him way up there.
So you've got him ahead of Olave, who you like.
Yes. Treylon Burks, I thought, was absolutely guaranteed, no doubt, one of those automatic first-round picks the Bears had no chance at, so I wasn't talking about him. Now, because Olave and Jahan Dotson and even Sky Moore, because of their combines, are shooting up draft boards, people are bumping Treylon Burks down, and he might go to round 2. And if the Bears can get Burks, George Pickens was my fantasy pick. If they get Burks, that's somehow better, because he's my 4. I have London at 3, Burks at 4, and I would genuinely argue, oh, this one's tough. This goes against most of the draft boards that are out there, but my 5 and 6 is a toss-up between Dotson from Penn State and George Pickens from Georgia. Okay. Now, Pickens isn't ranked that high on any draft boards because of his medical history, and he's got a bad attitude. I'll say that too. Purely on game film, if that's all you're going by, how good is he at football? Take everything else out. George Pickens is my number 5. Okay. Now, yeah, bad attitude, medical history. Okay, maybe you have to bump him to 8 because of that. But I don't. He's very good at football.
It's fun that the draft is here. It's fun that it gets underway. And there's always something that happens that that whole, I mean, the first thing that popped in my mind recently is like, there's that Daniel Jones moment where it's like, they picked who? And you know, when I look at Washington last year, I mean, you look at all the, there's hundreds and thousands of mock drafts and people who do this for a living, breaking it down 364 days so they can have the first round day and they get most of them right. I look at Washington last year and they picked Jamin Davis at number 15 when everybody else had them getting Micah Parsons or I did this last time, the guy from Notre Dame that went to Cleveland.
Oh, yeah.
Uwusu
Koromoa.
Yeah, Koromoa. I mean, everything. Every draft had them picking one of those two guys, and then, boom, it's Jamin Davis. And don't think during the whole year I'm like, okay, Jamin Davis, we picked you 15th overall in the whole friggin' draft. And he showed some flashes, but 15 overall, they reached, man. And at least right now, that has not paid off.
Well, and Uwusu Koromoa ended up going in the 30s to Cleveland,
yeah.
I want to say. And he was really good for Cleveland. And then, you know,
now granted, they weren't going to get Micah Parsons because he went to Dallas, and that was before their pick.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, he's been phenomenal. Ugh, make me sick. But
as well it should.
Let's look at the draft, though, Aaron, because there really is no, I mean, I'm reading a lot. I mean, here we are the day before, and I am reading a ton of stuff that Trayvon Walker is the quote-unquote consensus number one pick to the Jaguars out of Georgia.
Trayvon Walker?
I have seen several that are using the word consensus. And so,
go ahead, Jacksonville.
So thoughts.
He is a very good player. He's a top 10 player. But Aiden Hutchinson is right there. Like Aiden Hutchinson should make this easy. Now actually, and here's what I would do. Jacksonville needs so many things, you could say, well, we'll just take best player available. And then it's Aiden Hutchinson. Fine. That's so easy. But if you want Trevor Lawrence to love you forever, because you risk, like, sure, his rookie year was a waste. Fine. That happens to a lot of guys.
It does, and a lot of that was Urban Meyer's fault.
How, you know, like, okay, but how many years can you waste before your young quarterback is, well, A,
you ruin him,
mad at you, or B, you legitimately ruin his confidence, well, and he can't ever play the same again?
Look at Sam Darnold. I think Sam Darnold has been ruined.
To be fair, I was anti-Sam Darnold on draft
night. I was too. I thought he was a turnover machine. But he's also been ruined. I mean, it happens every time. It happens every season.
So if you want to salvage your Trevor Lawrence, yeah, your wide receivers, you paid way too much for a crappy receiver core. Not a lot you can do to fix that now. But you can take Evan Neal number one overall.
I think it's a no-brainer. You've, and not only that, the Jaguars are already kind of playing with house money.
Mm-hmm.
One, you got rid of Urban Meyer. Which was just an absolute train wreck. Oh, my gosh. That could be a whole podcast episode, just that dude. But they also were, people have forgotten, they had two first-round picks last year. One of them just happened to get hurt in the preseason, Travis Etienne from Clemson. Trevor Lawrence's teammate and dynamic running back. So you're going to get him back anyway. Why you wouldn't go and just say, okay, this enormous mountain of a man from the best program in the country who develops pros on a... If there's a sure thing in this draft, it's Evan Neal. Let's just put it that way. That guy,
I would argue Aiden Hutchinson and Sauce Gardner are...
But I'm just saying... I'm serious. Evan Neal could be like a Jonathan Ogden type player. Mm-hmm. You plug him in day one, 13 years later, he retires, and then 5 years after that, he's in the Hall of Fame.
I just beg, please, Detroit, quarterback.
Anyway, I am with you. I think Jacksonville should pick a left tackle, and it should be Evan Neal. Another guy that's kind of bringing a lot of questions into the top five now is Ekwonu from NC State, he's more of a raw, there's people saying he is a generational talent at at offensive line.
Someone
published. There's also some people a little nervous about him.
Remember the last time we had a phenomenal offensive tackle prospect who was so raw but can't miss because of how much athleticism he had? And so they decided to call him the Incredible Bulk on Sports Illustrated and publish
it. Tony Mandrich.
Yeah.
You like it just because it was a Packer thing.
Have you seen the other top five from that draft? The Packers picked 2 overall and took Mandrich. And other than that, you had Aikman, you had Barry Sanders, you had Deion Sanders, and you had Derek Thomas. That was the other parts of the top five. Thank you. I don't want to hear another thing from the Packers about Mitch Trubisky until I die.
I do want to throw this out there. If you want to read one of the best stories you've ever read, sports stories, my friend Cody Tucker, who founded 7220sports.com, he has won sports writing awards in like 3 different states, including Michigan. And he used to write for the Penguins, but he's a Cheyenne guy. He's a Wyoming guy. Wanted to come back home and write about the Cowboys. But he was out. He did a story on Tony Mandrich when he was working for one of the Lansing papers. And he has a link to it at 7220sports.com. Sports writing doesn't get much better than that. Cody is super good at what he does. And so I totally recommend a good read on that. Because it's easy to, and again, I'm not going to sit here and go boo-hoo, but it's easy to pile on these guys. But then if they do come out the other end and they're okay, we should kind of celebrate that too. And that's kind of happened with Mandrich. I mean, he'll always be known as this bust, but let's be honest. Every year it's a little less because people don't, I mean, he wasn't even in your lifetime. He was, right? I mean, it's before you were even born.
So that is correct.
And so, anyway, I'm just saying more and more people are going to, less and less people are going to know who he is. But that is a phenomenal read. Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com. But he did a story, I think it was in 2018, on Mandrich. Go and read that. It is probably the best thing you'll read today.
Well, there's also the, you know, I always think of Heath Shuler as the poster child for, man, was he bad at football, but turned out to be good at life.
You know what, though? I hate Heath Shuler. And it's probably for the same reason that you say he's good at life. Being elected as a politician, to me, just means you're a terrible human being. Which
he seems like such a nice guy, though.
So did Stalin, I'm sure, in certain words.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is confirmed. Dal Erickson has said Heath Shuler is Joseph Stalin.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all.
Spread that all over the internet.
You're inferring.
Hashtag canceled.
I'm just saying everybody thinks, oh, he's a nice. No. So let's be honest. The reason I can't have a rational conversation about Heath Shuler is because my team wasted the number 5 overall pick on him. That's just how it is.
Hey, he ended up playing for the Bears, too. You know, so I can technically also, you know what, be upset.
Here's how much I hated Heath Shuler. As a teen, I wrote, I mean, I think I just graduated. So, I mean, I was an adult, but kind of not. I had written several letters to Washington, to the Redskins, saying, I believe in Gus Frerotte. I like Gus Frerotte. He's better than this. You should give him a shot. Anyway, they sent me back some stickers.
Then he headbutted a wall.
To be fair, he was better than Heath Shuler until, yeah, you're going to lose that.
So was the wall.
You're going to lose that. and that was the RFK. That was RFK. I mean, let's be honest. You're going to lose that battle. Anyway, but I hated Heath Shuler as a bust pick. But let's be honest. The worst quarterback, the worst bust pick ever is Jamarcus Russell.
I would say Leaf was probably a bigger. See,
but Leaf went number 2. Jamarcus Russell went number 1, and he did not last 3 years with the team that picked him. And he is not known for anything other than purple drank. he drank himself out of the league on cough syrup and food. Anyway, it's to me, he's worse now.
Potentially.
At least Ryan Leaf, like I said.
At least Ryan Leaf's suckitude directly resulted in the Chargers being able to draft LaDainian Tomlinson.
If you ever wanted to compare the career stats of Ryan Leaf and Jamarcus Russell, I'll bet you Ryan Leaf wins. I'll bet you we could look that up.
Maybe. I thought Leaf's like ratio was like 2 touchdowns to 15 interceptions.
Yeah,
and, he was gone.
And DeMarcus Russell like didn't even. He's awful to me. He's the worst pick ever. I'll be honest. Another terrible pick, which for Washington, and I can't talk about him this way anymore because he just passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Dwayne Haskins. That turned out to be an awful pick, but we're not going to talk about him in terms of.
Well, you want to talk about draft picks that he's not a bust yet because he hasn't played an NFL game.
And see, I don't even know if Haskins was a bust yet. He just
He would have been for you unless he was going to come back to Washington.
True. I mean, Desmond Howard was a bust for Washington, and then he ended up winning a Super Bowl MVP.
You know, I actually got into a literal argument on Twitter. I was talking about how Devin Hester was a finalist last year for the Hall of Fame, and 3 Packer fans jumped into Ian Rappaport's tweet to actually genuinely try to convince us Desmond Howard was better than Devin Hester.
No, he wasn't. And I like Desmond Howard.
Desmond Howard is a top 10 returner of all time.
He's not better than
Devin Hester. I'm guessing he's somewhere between 8 and 10. Devin Hester is not only one, he's like probably a good half marathon lap ahead of Brian Mitchell back at 2.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But I was very anti this player going into the draft process. And this one was because in 2021, for the 2021 draft, I was all in on all the quarterbacks because Mitch was already gone. We all knew the Bears were taking a quarterback. So I researched every quarterback in that draft, including one Kellen Mond, who I had nothing but negative things to say about, as I thought he was nothing more than a glorified punt returner playing quarterback. Well, then today, did you hear what Mike Zimmer had to say after his firing from Minnesota about his former third-round draft pick?
No, I have not.
Mike Zimmer went on public radio, and I will say this word for word. This was his quote. "I was just kind of creeped out by the guy. He would always ask me if he could come to my ranch in Kentucky. I never told him to come, but then last Thanksgiving he brought his whole family there. They had their Thanksgiving at my ranch and I wasn't even home. I had to watch it all through my Ring camera.
Ew.
I have never looked at him the same after that."
That is weird. How do you invite yourself to someone and your family to someone else's house? There's some weird crap out there, man.
Oh.
Okay, so we've kind of been roaming all over the place, but let's at least get through the top 11 picks. I say 11 because that's where Washington is. I would normally say 10, but we can't just stop. Okay, so you think the Jaguars should go with Evan Neal number one?
That would be my pick.
So
unfortunately, that gives Aiden Hutchinson to the Lions.
Okay.
I hope they take quarterback so bad.
Or would they take Trayvon Walker because he didn't go number one? There's that conversation.
I'm rooting for quarterback. It's what I pray for.
I think it's interesting that Detroit continues to have at least they don't seem to have any type of direction. They just seem to like throw a dart at a board and it's like, we're taking that guy. They just sometimes it's the best available player. Sometimes it's a need, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. But they're never consistent, and it seems like it never helps them out. They're always in the top five, always. So go ahead and pick Aiden Hutchinson. All I can think is, well, that guy's not going to be very good because he's going to the Lions. I guess it's possible,
or he'll be one of those. Wow, Aiden Hutchinson. 8 straight years with 10 or more sacks. What a player.
Yeah.
And then he retired.
Yeah.
He never made the playoffs or anything.
A broken down old man.
Detroit does that to too many guys.
Yeah, he does. They did it to Megatron, and that guy was amazing. Okay, so let's say that he does go there. Well, then I got to say that Houston's going to pick Trayvon Walker, number 3 then.
Maybe. That might be what they actually do. If I'm Houston, they claim they believe in Davis Mills.
That is absolute crap.
They claim it.
They can claim all they want.
Now,
that guy is not a quarterback long term in the NFL.
Lovie Smith claimed that he was all behind Rex Grossman and took him to a Super Bowl. So Lovie Smith might just not care about quarterbacks all that much.
Then you better have one of the best teams the rest of your position if Davis Mills is going to be your quarterback.
I will say this. Now, that mock draft has Derek Stingley, the second best cornerback in this draft, going to Houston.
You're
going to go corner, take Gardner.
I just pulled up a random mock draft. It happens to be CBS. Just because I wanted the order.
I did see, though, very next one, I was the one who brought Jermaine Johnson's name up, right? How about that? Number four overall.
Yeah, they've got him number four overall, Jermaine Johnson. Now, the thing that makes me scared is they've got Evan Neal, who I seriously think he is. He's probably the most bulletproof pick in the entire draft. And they got him going number five overall to the Giants.
I would not be shocked if the Jets went Evan Neal if the Jaguars haven't.
There are all these people talking about how the Jets are one of the top teams to try and get Deebo Samuel and this and that. And I'm like, why on earth would you go out there and play crap football for the Jets?
Well, that is, of course, the other huge story right now. Deebo Samuel has demanded a trade, and John Lynch has straight up said, yeah, you guys can all call all you want. I'm not trading Deebo Samuel. Yeah. I'll just whatever he wants, we'll figure something out. I don't care how long it takes. I'm not trading Deebo Samuel.
I believe John Lynch when he says stuff like that. Other guys, I really don't. But him, I believe him.
What's amazing, though, is Deebo Samuel's problem right now, he said, isn't money. He doesn't care about a paycheck.
They all say that.
He said...
Bull crap.
Well, I'm sure he cares about a paycheck. I believe when he says right now it's not a financial... The 49ers offer was good
enough.
He
wants to be
a
wide receiver.
He doesn't want to play running back anymore.
Which is interesting because he kind of had his breakout season because of his versatility. And it's interesting, but at the same time...
It will wear you down faster.
It really does seem like someone in his camp said, hey, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt faster doing what you're doing now than if you were just a wide receiver. And they're probably right.
So basically he's saying, Kyle Shanahan is using me how I don't want to be used. So let's say John Lynch is right. And John Lynch brings him back and he makes him these promises. And he says, fine, you can be a wide receiver. How do you show up at day one of training camp and you're like, hey, Coach Shanahan, how's it going? What are we doing today?
Running back drills.
And hope that Kyle Shanahan isn't like glaring at you out of the side of his eye for the rest of time.
I think that's just how professional sports goes. I mean, I can't pretend to know.
You're not going to fire Shanahan.
No, of course not.
So that's out of the question.
It's interesting to me. But going back to the point, that the Jets, you know, are they going to pick a defensive player? Here's the part I don't understand about these mock drafts. So you invest in your quarterback, Zach Wilson, who I think is an absolute putz.
We disagree on this.
Made even more so with his video this last week.
Which I have not seen.
There's really no reason to. Let's just say if you're a member of the LDS faith, you have a little more ammo to not like Zach Wilson. Let's just put it that way. I hated him before, so I don't care.
No ammo needed.
All it does is confirm to me that he's just a little punk. That aside, if you're the Jets, you've invested in this guy to be your starting quarterback, and you keep investing in quarterback. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've done it several times over the last decade.
The Sanchez, so then
why? Do people why do they go in to get a defensive player? Get one of these stud offensive linemen. Pick the most explosive player. Pick Jameson Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Pick him. If you have such a belief in Zach Wilson and his arm.
Oh, sorry.
Wouldn't you pick the fastest wide receiver in the draft?
I think the Jets very well probably will take either Williams or Garrett Wilson. That is my projection. That can say whatever it wants. I don't care. That's what I would do. That's what I think the Jets are going to do.
Well, I think that's totally fair because if they don't pick offense, I don't know what they're thinking. Because the guys they started last year with on offense, that was like the Bad News Bears, man. They had nobody. And so it's just they've developed a few people, but anyway, I still think he's a putz. I think he's going to be awful.
I really miss the Rex Ryan, Mark Sanchez Jets, by the way, as a side note. I enjoyed them.
Did you now?
They were such dicks all the time.
To me, one of the...
And I loved it.
To me, one of the big crossroads in the first round, Aaron, is pick number 6.
Carolina.
Because Carolina needs a quarterback.
They're the Jacksonville of the NFC.
They have already come out and apparently news this morning told Sam Darnold, hey, we're probably going to get a quarterback at some point in the draft. Now, that doesn't mean it's necessarily a number 6.
If they go Malik Willis at 6.
There's a lot of people think it's going to be Malik Willis at 6. out of Liberty. Now, to me, of all the quarterbacks, if you're drafting for upside, which is what teams do now, it used to be, who can come in and play right away? Now, a quarterback, they're like, okay, who can be a superstar in a year or two? Malik Willis is that guy, at least on paper. But is that really what they should do?
No. I would take either Gardner here or potentially you take Kyle Hamilton here at 6. Carolina needs a superstar. They don't have a position that they need that superstar to be at right now. They just need stars in Carolina.
Yeah,
then they need to figure out who they're going to build this team around.
They need bodies. Well, and they tried that, but Christian McCaffrey is not the answer. He's hurt every year.
And even if you have Christian McCaffrey, again, okay, good, you filled one hole. You got 52 more.
All I can say
their roster is
there were
bad.
Guys, Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, these guys that were going to be like, they don't pan out. It's too brutal. They get hurt. They never can stay healthy. It never works out. So, all right. So you got maybe a quarterback going to Carolina. Maybe not. If Carolina doesn't pick Malik Willis, who do you think they take?
I would say the best players that'll be available at that point are Kyle Hamilton and Ahmad Gardner.
So you're saying defensive secondary, either a safety or a corner.
And that's not even on purpose. That's strictly because those are the two guys that I think.
That's fair.
Those are the guys that can come in as rookies and start to flip your culture a little bit.
Now, the other thing about this draft that's making it so unique is there are multiple teams with multiple first-round picks. So the Giants have the 5th pick and the 7th pick. And the Jets,
you're welcome.
And the Jets have the 4th pick and the 8th pick. One of those has to be an offensive lineman for the Jets. I mean, now that I've kind of gone off,
I'd say the other one's wide receiver. They really like Zach Wilson. They are going to, you know, powder his butt, get him fresh clothes, buy him some new toys. They're like, here you go, we got you a tackle and a receiver.
And that's what they should do, honestly. Here's what's interesting, though. This particular draft, they've got Kayvon Thibodeau dropping all the way to 9 to go to the Seahawks.
Which is where I would put him, but, you know.
It's interesting. And then there's like a run on receivers, which...
Boo!
Which I have read. I actually read that from two different other sources today, that GMs around the league feel there is going to be a run on receivers sooner rather than later in the first round. So you go back like 2 or 3 weeks ago and people were like, okay, you can still trade back into the 20s and still pick up maybe one of those top 4 or 5 receivers. That has changed. Now they're saying those guys are probably going to be gone by 15 because they think there could be 4 or 5 go in like a 6-pick span.
As long as those guys that I've been talking about this whole time stay as second round picks like they're supposed to, if we can get Pickens or we can, apparently we can now get a Burks if that happens, I'll cry.
Yeah. Well, like you said, you've had him number four, number five, and if you're getting him in the second round, then something has happened.
Because you know, combine. Treylon Burks, if I can say this too, the thing that I love about him is not only is he such a good receiver, you want to talk about, you know, Deebo Samuel and why people like him, and even if you're not going to do the stupid, you know, the same thing, oh, we'll play him at running back, Treylon Burks' ability to, you know, catch a crossing pattern and then just start breaking tackles like he's Larry Zonka as a wide receiver is amazing.
Well, that's sort of what Jameson Williams does, except
without... His is just speed.
Yeah, except without the contact. He just runs away from him. So let me ask you this. I actually believe there is going to be a run. You've got Atlanta, Washington, Philly. There's a lot
always of, Atlanta.
There's a lot of teams that are going to need that are going to want receivers. So let me ask you this: as I'm a Washington fan, so I can't have any. You know,
I hope you guys take Sky Moore. I don't have. That I can see what your reaction is live and in person.
I don't have any idea who they're going to pick, and I think I'm going to be happy with who they pick, because there's so many players.
They're going to take a quarterback.
No, they won't. No, they won't. They already went and blew their wad on one. So let me ask you this. So let's say on the board for Washington, there is Drake London, Garrett Wilson, Kyle Hamilton, Chris Olave. Let's say they're all available at 11.
Wilson.
You're saying Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Because you feel like he's the most polished of the receivers.
He can help.
Even more than Hamilton. Because there's some people saying Hamilton should move up and be like a top three pick.
Potentially. I've already expressed, though, Hamilton's going to be boom or bust. He has the potential to be Harrison Smith, another Notre Dame safety. He could also be Eddie Jackson as a guy that gets too greedy too often, and he ends up costing your team 8 touchdowns in a season, and you're going, oh, Kyle, I love the picks, but please stop giving up free 70-yard bombs. He could be one or the other depending on how he's coached. I truly believe that. So Hamilton's a little, and I'm a Notre Dame fan, and I hope he does become the next Harrison Smith.
Well, sure.
Because he has so much talent, and he's such a good tackler, and I love that in DBs in the modern NFL.
So you're
if Washington is in the opinion of, all right, we got Wentz, we got McLaurin.
And remember they signed Curtis Samuel last year. He just didn't play because he was hurt.
And they're
the whole
thinking,
year.
Let's get an offense together. Garrett Wilson. He can show up day one. Drake London, I've already said, could boom in the future and probably will. It'd probably take a little bit of polish here and there.
Let me ask you this. People are bringing this up also because they were teammates at Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that helps McLaurin and Wilson?
Not as two wide receivers. Doesn't really matter.
But as people, you think
it helps? They'll get along, I guess.
McLaurin actually seemed really broken up with the Dwayne Haskins thing. He went to the funeral. He spoke at it. I think that affected him. Mm-hmm. They were friends. Anyway, I could see them leaning that way. One of the Ohio State guys. Of course, Rivera has not been shy about talking to Chris Olave. So we'll see what happens there. But
I think Wilson's a better player than Olave is.
I have some thoughts on how I'm going to answer this question. I'm going to ask you this question because we're out of time, which is amazing. What do you think is going to be the nutshell story of the first round of the NFL draft?
I am terrified to say what I truly believe everyone's going to come out of this. Green Bay is going to end up with, it's probably going to be Jameson Williams. Like all these mocks are coming up, and Green Bay is going to get their shiny new speedster toy, and they are going to have ended up winning the Davante Adams trade. And like I said, I'm going to climb up to the tallest one of these hills out here, and I'm just going to take a tumble and go, all right, that's it. Football's not worth watching
anymore.
That's
the hard part about where you live now. Our buildings aren't tall enough.
That's all right. We've got mountains here.
You're going to live.
Oh, no.
And then even the mountains, I mean, there's a grade there. It's not cut and dried like a skyscraper. I think I am going to go along. This is what I think. I think one team in the top 10 is going to reach for Malik Willis. I would guess it's going to be the Panthers, but it could be someone else.
Detroit.
Someone is going to reach for him. And then I do believe there will be a run. I think there will be four wide receivers picked before number 15. So four of the top 15 picks, I think, will be wide receivers.
Which still won't kill
us. At least four.
Because then most of the teams after that aren't the wide receiver desperate teams
but
anymore.
I think that's going to be the story of the first round. And I think because of that, years from now, you're going to see a really dominant defensive player. It's like, wow, how did he fall to the, you know, to wherever he fell? And it's like, well, because everybody wanted those receivers.
And frankly, they might have even been right anyway, because yeah, those receivers might all be great too.
They might all suck too.
They might.
The odds are a couple of them are going to be good, but never know.
You know, we're talking about this purely from a, you know, odds and statistical, you know, land of fantasy. I mean, frankly, though it hasn't happened before, it's not like it's impossible that all 12 of these guys that we all go, wow, their film is great. They could be like, well, this is unprecedented. We're all just going to dominate.
They're all really
who knows?
Good. I guess you never, no, it's not going to happen. History says no. So, yeah, there we are. I hope my quote unquote party is not too lame for you. It's really just me and my brothers and some of my friends hanging out, talking PG-13 language and making fun of each other and eating beef.
Well, to be fair, every draft party I've ever attended has just been my dad, brother, and I in our living room. By the way, and you could say both of these are hit and miss. Two of the funniest moments of that, though, because they were both recorded. One of them still on the internet somewhere. Now, Justin Fields, I still feel good about. You know, some people were talking about his stats last year. I don't really care. He, as a rookie in the NFL, I was just asking for flashes. Like, just prove to me that the things we thought you could do, you can actually do. Like, those weren't like, oh, you can. Okay, good. Now we just need to, you know, not have a crap offense.
Yeah.
That's the key. And there's a video of me running back and forth in my living room and then kissing my then fiance, now wife, because we drafted Justin Fields.
Which worked out.
I am in that video.
Well, it worked out for you, too. I don't know if it's worked out for Justin Fields yet.
I am in that video wearing a Cole Kmet jersey, which I can be seen a year earlier because, you know, the Bears had spent 3 years with Trey Burton as our starting tight end, and we were all kind of sick of him. It was kind of consensus in 2020. The Bears were taking a tight end. And I said, if Cole Kmet from Notre Dame can fall to us, he was untackleable at Notre Dame. All Notre Dame ever had to do offensively was say, all right, it's 3rd and 12. What's the play? You know what the play is? It's a 2-yard crossing pattern to Kmet, and then he just runs over their whole secondary.
He drags people for 10 yards.
Yeah, I said, you know, he looks Kittle-ish. Not in college, Kittle-ish. So fine.
I could just coin a word.
I did. He looks Kittle-ish out there. And then when Roger Goodell, in his, you know, that COVID draft where he's in his own living room.
In his chair.
Yeah, and, you know, he comes out and he goes, Chicago
I'd like to
Bears
read you
select.
All a story.
And the second C, like, I think he got through "cuh," and I just knew what was coming. And Cole Kmet, and I was up and down the stairs. I'm sprinting around the living room. I'm fist bumping the air. I'm like, yes! And yeah, he's been a tight end since then. Part of that might be our offense. Part of that might be he doesn't get as open as I thought he would be getting. But it was fun when it happened.
Well, for me to get a reaction like that for Washington, if they get Garrett Wilson or Drake London at 11,
you win.
I will do a dance.
Unless Williams somehow falls all the way to there, because apparently he's not the best receiver draft.
And maybe he will, but yeah, I'd be happy with any of them. But
take Sky Moore. At 11.
It is time for some...
He ran so fast.
Time for some meat, some carbs, and some football.
And speaking of football, this will be a nice quick segment this week. I am so proud of myself with my week one USFL power rankings. You know why I'm proud, Dal? Because I don't think I have to change any of them after a week two.
Pittsburgh's still the worst team?
Oh, easily.
I didn't even watch any games this week.
Oh, boo. Now, granted, I have an actual reason because we have that bet going. But New Orleans Breakers advanced to 2-0.
There you go.
I'll keep them at 2 because they beat up on Tampa Bay.
How about the Generals? How did the Generals do? Because I kind of
New
like
Jersey
them.
Got their first win. They in a low scoring defensive slugfest, they beat the Michigan Panthers. Is that what you're going to go with? By the way,
I think so.
Okay, so you and my friend Kelly. He's the one who has the Generals in our league. They currently are my top team in the North. So the way their playoffs work, they're going to send two teams from the North, two teams from the South.
Here's the part I don't get, though.
The North is so much worse.
here's the part I don't get. If none of these teams are actually going to play where their team name is, then why not just pick some whimsical, fun names? Like, remember, this is too old if you remember. When David Letterman was on, he used to say from the home office, like the top 10 list, and he would just pick like a random town. And one of those was like Wahoo, Nebraska. And the first one he picked was because it was like one of the few places in the country that didn't carry his show. But why not pick like a whimsical place like that? It's like, hey, it's the Wahoo Maulers or something.
Why not?
Because that town is going to buy... They're going to buy a bunch of merchandise. Michigan, they're not going to buy any Maulers merchandise.
Panthers.
See, I don't even... And Pittsburgh's not going to buy any Maulers crap. They're just not going to.
I might own New Orleans Breakers gear by the time this is all done.
It reminds me of when I do like the franchise mode for Madden, and I build the stadium in Fairview, Wyoming. which is not a town, and it's just, and I think about, hey, if Elon Musk can spend $44 billion on something that doesn't exist, Twitter, if I was a whimsical billionaire, why wouldn't I plop down $2 billion and build me a stadium in Fairview, Wyoming, knowing I never get my money back? Because that's where the team is. So that's,
you might enjoy this. I was playing MLB The Show.
I like that. I like that game.
I decided to do a fictional team and play a season where all of my players are just people I know.
that's a great idea.
And I decided out of pure whims, I'm like, normally I just make, like when I do that on Madden or on NHL, I give Chicago a second team. I'm like, all right, three teams in Chicago seems excessive.
The Naperville Nats.
So we are the Wyoming Mountaineers.
Interesting.
By the way, in the game, it gives you pick what state you're in. I picked Wyoming. It says, okay, pick what city. The city section is blank.
Well, yeah.
You can't even put them in Cheyenne or something.
No, because, yeah, people don't understand that come from populated areas. The largest cities in Wyoming are about 60,000. Those are the largest ones.
I'm like, I couldn't even be like the Cheyenne.
That's Cheyenne and Casper.
So we are just Wyoming. We don't get a city.
Well, to be fair, I mean, the Utah Jazz, they're not even the Salt Lake City Jazz, so they're kind of the same thing.
Well, yeah.
Although that place has grown like crazy since the Jazz moved there. Yeah, that's fun. The Wyoming Mountaineers. Interesting.
And all of our players are just random people that I know. It's like myself, my dad.
Am I on the team?
You are our backup catcher.
Awesome. Oh, that is
perfect. I made the Star Valley crew after I got through all my friends. I said, all right, well now I need backups. And I went through all of my coworkers.
Here's the irony of that though. I probably have the
and
worst,
random family members.
I'm pretty sure I have the worst knees in the office, so to make me a catcher, it's probably a bad idea.
I was originally going to make my wife the catcher, too, but MLB The Show still hasn't gotten around to allowing you to make female players.
Wow.
NHL
that is
does.
Disgusting.
Cancel MLB The Show.
Wow. Serious. I guess I assume that really is kind of a...
I think it's still literally...
Where's the woke army for that?
NHL allows you to, and I believe NBA 2K will, but you have to put them on a WNBA team.
See, that's stupid. It's a video game.
It's a video. Why can't I have a female quarterback on my Madden team?
Do you want to know what one of the biggest reveals in video game history was? This is in my era. You've heard of the game Metroid?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Samus.
Samus Aran is a woman.
Yeah.
And you didn't know that until you had cleared the game and she takes off her armor. And you went, whoa! It's an 8-bit thing, like you can even tell what
it
is anyway.
By the way, whenever I would play Super Smash Brothers, on the Nintendo 64 as a kid, it was an unspoken rule that all my friends understood that no one else was allowed to be Samus.
That's fun. but I just, anyway.
We all had one, though.
Now we're off the rail.
Yeah, anyhow. So my USFL power rankings, we'll just run through it.
Hey, as far as I'm concerned, your power rankings are the premier USFL power rankings in the country.
Birmingham. I would say New Orleans had a more spectacular outing in week two, but Birmingham beat a team that was already in my top three last week. So even though they barely won, they beat a better team. So Birmingham can stay number one if they want. They're 2-0.
I think they're overrated.
They play New Orleans next week. Dal's over here killing himself.
I'm just making stuff up at this point.
New Orleans is the other 2-0. We're down to two. We got two undefeateds. And they play each other in week three. New Orleans and Birmingham. New Orleans came out. They played Tampa in a battle of 1-0s and won 38-3.
I'll be honest, Aaron. You might have to find someone else to come on the podcast to talk USFL because...
All right. Then I'll just run through it then, I guess.
I just don't care.
I'll keep Houston at three. I'll put New Jersey at four. Philadelphia can bump up to five. I think they were six last week. I'm bumping Tampa down. Tampa is way down. I'm going to put Michigan at six. They were my seven a week ago.
Thank you, Jeff Fisher.
Mm-hmm.
Of course they're number six out of eight.
Tampa Bay is at seven, Pittsburgh at eight. And I said, after week one, I said I was so delighted by the quality of the first three games. I said, wow. And it shouldn't have been. Like, I get that there's no fans because it's a minor league. But every one of these players played D1 football. So why would the quality be less than turning on a Division I game? Like, I'll watch Illinois versus Mizzou, and they both suck. So why would I not watch? You know, that was like my thinking. And yet, still, I was shocked that it was good football, except the kickers. Kickers suck.
There is some weird stuff, though. Like that guy that, like, teabagged that other guy. What was that about?
That was great.
What was that about?
Oh, more of that, please.
And then the guy didn't even retaliate. I'm like, if they'd done that in the NFL, there would have been a fight.
Yeah. But anyhow, Tampa Bay and Pittsburgh then was the closer of week one. And I said, oh, this is what people were worried about. This is awful. Yeah, well, as it turns out, Tampa Bay might have won. I think they'll be able to beat Pittsburgh. I think they've gotten their win for the year.
Could be.
Anyhow, so there you go, 1-8. New Orleans winning this week, baby, and then I can put them at number one in my power rankings. We're going to go to 3-0. They destroyed Tampa 38-3. Davin Bellamy got two more sacks. He's gonna be in an NFL camp
by the time
this season is over.
As if Tom Brady showed up.
Just for a game?
In Birmingham to cheer on the Tampa team.
That would be hilarious.
That would be weird, wouldn't it? Oh, speaking of weird, okay, I'm ending the show on this because it's the weirdest thing.
Oh, then can I mention one more thing?
Yeah, you better.
I better get into the baseball news of the week. A, you remember last week on the episode when I hyped up that the White Sox were 6-3 and they had won all three of their games? Or no, they were 6-2 and had won all three series to start the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are now on an 8-game losing streak since I said that.
Ooh.
They look and in that 8-game losing streak, they have committed 16 errors and have scored 15 runs.
Ooh, that's bad.
Their fielding is abysmal, and suddenly all their bats have gone cold. Now, at this exact moment, though, as I'm saying that, now that I'm finally not watching, they might be turning things around. Let me check before I say anything. They're currently up 3-2 on the Royals. So maybe my not watching is what was needed, but they could still choke that away. Who knows? Right. Anyhow, we then had what was deemed the worst umpired game of all time.
Angel Hernandez.
By Angel Hernandez. I shared it on social media. He missed, I think they said, on called balls and strikes. So on pitches that the batter does not take a swing, so it's on the umpire. There was something like 67 of those in the game. And he was incorrect to the quote-unquote true strike zone on 25. He missed a third.
See, I don't think he does it because he's bad. I think he does it because he's stubborn. In his mind somewhere, he's like, I don't care what that machine says. This is a strike to me. This is not a strike to me.
Well, that only works for up and down, though, because the plate is supposed to be the plate.
I understand, but...
And on top of that, then, of course, it ended with the very incredible Kyle Schwarber on a full count, a ball 2 inches almost a full baseball off the plate, outside. He takes it because it's ball four. It is ball four. And he says, strike three. There's two outs in the bottom of the ninth in a 1-0 game. And Schwarber threw his bat like a javelin, turned around, threw his helmet at the ground, and he made sure that if he was going to get ejected, that Angel Hernandez was going to feel every ounce of his frustration.
Not only that, he like came out of the dugout and kept at it.
And then, in the middle of it, he was advocating for both sides, yeah. Which is the funniest.
Yeah, he was like, you suck for both sides.
He pointed at Milwaukee, he pointed at Philly, and he said, up, down, left, right, you've missed everything for both sides all game. You effing suck.
Yeah.
And then left. And I said, that was great. It did everything perfectly. You got your money's worth. It was in a key situation, so you get to be mad. Sure, you're ejected. You didn't even stay comically long. You got everything out of there. You got in his face. I think you spit on him a little. And you advocated for both sides to just let him know, I'm not even mad you called me out. I just think you are awful at what you do professionally.
You're bad.
Bye. It was great. It was the greatest ejection of all time.
So we've talked a lot about the draft, which we should because it's the draft tomorrow. One of the more crazy things that have happened on draft night of the last several years is Laremy Tunsil. Now, do you remember this? He was the consensus number one offensive lineman of the, I think it was 2016. Yeah, the 2016 draft. And then like right before the draft started, his Twitter account tweets out this picture of him smoking weed in a gas mask. And people were like, what? Anyway, he ends up falling because of that to the middle of the first round. And now he's with the Texans, which he's doing well. I mean, he's
playing like he should have been the number one tackle.
Here is the very epitome of making lemonade out of lemons. So that's been, you know, this will be the 60 year anniversary of that. So I'm an old fart and I hate digital, non-tangible things. I hate that things are going that way. Mm-hmm. I grew up as a Generation X. My parents were at the tail. I mean, I was a late child to two people who were born during the Depression. So, I mean, we just scrimped and we saved things. We didn't waste things. And I'm kind of like that. So the idea that people spend money for something that doesn't exist just really bothers me. So the whole NFT thing, non-fungible token, which is absolute BS. I mean, talk about something made up to screw somebody out of their money. Anyway, to Laremy Tunsil's credit, he has successfully minted a successful NFT of that gas mask video. Which means someone paid money for that. They have exclusive rights to it. Again, makes no sense because I can go online and look at it. I don't understand. Anyway, here's what's kind of cool about it though, Aaron. Even if he was just keeping the money, it would be like a cool middle finger moment for him. It's like, well, screw you. It didn't define me. He's actually taking the money from this and he is giving it the proceeds to what's called the Last Prisoner Project, which supports those incarcerated for cannabis offenses. You can't make this crap up.
That's brilliant.
You go back 6 years ago, and we were making fun of this guy. It's like, well, what a dumbass. And then 6 years later, he's got, you know, double-digit million-dollar contract. He's playing in Texas, and he is killing it in the NFT market. I just think it's just interesting. This is why we watch the draft. You never know what's going
to
happen.
Well, and we haven't even talked about, in passing, here's we leave, the Bulls get to be eliminated tonight.
Oh, yes. Yes, yeah. In passing, the Bulls are going to lose.
Yeah, that's brilliant. So anyway, that's been our show for this week. You can catch us every week. We normally air it on Wednesday mornings. Today, we're recording on Wednesday, and it'll air same day, so that'll be fun. A little treat for everyone. Not really, because the episode's late. Sorry. Next week, we might be back on regular schedule. But catch us on Spotify, on Podbean, on our YouTube channel, and at svinews.com/podcasts. See y'all.